A big win today for the world's biggest retailer at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Supreme Court has ruled Walmart will avoid an expensive class action lawsuit from women accusing it of sex discrimination. An earlier appeals court had ruled more than 1.5 million women could have sued collectively. But today's unanimous high court ruling reverses that. Dahlia Lithwick is a senior editor at Slate.com. She's with us now on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Remind us, Dahlia, what the original sex discrimination case was.
This is a suit, one of the largest class action suits in history. It's 1.5 million female employees of Walmart who are trying to file a class action suit alleging that Walmart favors men over women in both pay and promotions systematically, and Walmart is on the hook for literally billions and billions of dollars.
This was a unanimous decision. Why such a strong ruling?
The question really is, can they file this class action at all? Or pulling together all these disparate plaintiffs and say, yes, they can proceed as one in one lawsuit. The Ninth Circuit said, yes, go ahead. There's enough in common here that they can all file one big old suit against Walmart. But the Supreme Court today says, no, it's too big. There's too many women. There is, the court rules, no policy that we can understand at Walmart that is common to every single decision that was made. So the whole thing is just too big. They can file one at a time individually, but not as a class.
Yeah, to be sure, there is the opportunity for relief in this case, right, for each woman, but not collectively as a class action.
That's exactly right. The court is clear that they can go and file individually, but recalling the reason we have class actions, obviously, you have a lot less power if you're just Betty Dukes filing against Walmart than if you're 1.5 million Betty Dukes filing against Walmart.
Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor over at Slate.com. Dahlia, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P and NASDAQ each up about average of 0.5%. Dow up 91 points, 12,095, about 0.75% for the Dow. Mexican officials say they expect a boost in tourism south of the border, but not necessarily from Americans. They say new flights from Europe and South America will help bring more people in. Airline computer systems seem to be better cooperating today after a weekend of electronic mishaps. It started on Friday when United Airlines computers crashed for about 5 hours. The carrier had to cancel more than 24 flights and delayed 100 or more. It was inconvenient for a lot of travelers, and the incident could reveal deeper airline troubles. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
United Airlines customers stared at blank arrival and departure screens Friday night, then lined up for hours to get handwritten boarding passes. Sean Ricard is an economist at the Cranfield School of Management. He flew from New York to London on Saturday, not on United, but he overheard the angry crowd.
People felt they hadn't been kept informed. They hadn't been treated very well. It was just, horrendous. And that was the day after it had happened.
He says computer failures can hit anyone, but United's poor customer response will cost it business for years to come. United says the failure was a network connectivity issue. George Hobica runs airfarewatchdog.com. He suspects the culprit is United's merger with Continental, as the two companies marry their websites while trying to cut costs.
They're very, very fragile, and I question whether the airlines have the financial resources to have first-class IT systems.
He says it's unlikely that airlines have the best information technology talent or enough of it. And you get what you pay for. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The people in charge of such things today voted to allow internet addresses to end with almost any suffix word like .milk or .vegas. The International Cooperation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, wrapped up its meeting in Singapore. Peter Dengate Thrush is the chairman of the board of ICANN. He's with us now from Singapore. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. What am I going to notice different about the internet now that the voting is done and you guys agreed to do this?
Well, it'll take a little while before they all come through, but within a year or so, you'll have a totally different landscape. You'll be looking at domain names ending in .pizza, .movie, .tech, all sorts of things, as we've introduced consumer choice and some competition for .com.
And why did you do this?
Well, because the community asked for it. If you're a major brand owner, for example, then you don't want to necessarily be in .com or .org. You want total control of brand, and you can strengthen your brand. Browsers will eventually know that if they want to reach this particular product, then they're going to go to the dot brand.
Would I be able to buy, say, dot Chiatakis? Not that anyone would be able to spell that, but would I be able to do that?
Well, you can certainly apply, and if you can prove to us that you're not going to break the internet, and if you can, if you can go through the evaluation processes that we've set up, we're talking about installing a registry on the running internet. But this is not a trivial exercise. So you need to satisfy us that you're a competent operator, and you're going to meet our security requirements and our business requirements, so that you're not going to defraud customers and all the usual sorts of things. If you can meet those tests, and you can fend off any competition, maybe other people who want that domain, then sure, you can have it.
Well, we certainly don't want to break the internet, so.
Certainly don't.
Peter Dengate Thrush, chairman of ICANN's board of directors. Sir, thank you.
That's been a pleasure. Thanks.
And finally, there are some people who really, really are creeped out by clowns. The official term is coulrophobia. And one circus in Britain is attacking people's fears head on. The guy who plays Popol at the John Lawson Circus will introduce himself to people without his makeup on and then show how he gradually transforms into a clown, putting on the makeup and the big red nose and the floppy shoes, easing those people into the fun, calling it clown therapy. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Egypt really wants to get its economy going. Businesses do too, as long as they can stay under the radar.
People cannot afford the very high transaction costs that it takes to deal with the bureaucracy in any way.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Red tape fueling black markets next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.